I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto Centre MPP Kristen Wong Tam tabled a bill called the Gender Affirming Healthcare Act this week.
So I move that leave be given to introduce a bill entitled An Act to Establish a Gender Affirming Healthcare Advisory Committee and that it now be read for the first time.
The bill was previously tabled by Wong Tam's Toronto Centre MPP predecessor, Suze Morrison, with support from other MPPs who identify as part of the 2S LGBTQ plus communities and healthcare providers. Wong Tam is hoping for the Ontario government to support them as well.
This bill will improve access to gender-affirming healthcare for trans, two-spirited, non-binary, gender-diverse, and intersex people in Ontario. I'm proud to say that this bill is co-sponsored by Ontario NDP Queer Caucus members Jill Andrew from Toronto St. Paul's, Terence Kernahan from London North Centre, as well as Belize Wajois from Thunder Bay Superior North. Now, this bill has been seen in the House before, and this House needs to take action today. We need to ensure that every member of the House truly supports that trans healthcare should not be up for debate. Anything less would be transphobia. Delaying the passage of this bill will cost trans Ontarians their lives.
Supporters include Dr. Kate Greenaway, whose work is centered on trans health at a city-based clinic on Dundas Street West. During a press conference following the tabling of the bill, Dr. Greenaway said that her clinic, called the Connect Clinic, continues to have a waitlist of over 2,000 people who require gender-affirming care. Further, Dr. Greenaway said that the healthcare systems of the city and province require revamping.
Hi, thank you for having me today. As you heard, my name is Kate Greenaway. I'm a family physician, and I've been providing gender-affirming care for more than 15, almost 20 years now. I focused on gender-affirming care specifically because finding a healthcare provider who's capable and trustworthy in this community can be the difference between life and death for our patients. As you've already heard, gender-affirming care is life-saving care. Trans and gender-diverse people have been shown to have very high rates of depression and suicidality. The TransPulse study, which was done in Ontario, found that two-thirds of the trans respondents had contemplated suicide. The wait times for gender-affirming care has shown to increase this suicidality. That same study showed that 55% of people waiting to receive gender-affirming care were contemplating suicide, but after receiving care that participated in their medical transition, that rate dropped to 1%. Long wait times to receive gender-affirming care are the norm currently in our province. When I started my virtual gender-affirming care practice, I expected to see some gaps in care across the province. But what I found was insufficient care in every part of Ontario. My clinic has between 150 to 200 new referrals every month, and our wait list has grown to over 2,000. Because of the changes to the virtual billing rules in Ontario, I'm actually not able to see new patients starting December 1st, and I have nowhere to send the 2,000 patients waiting to see me. My colleagues across the province are echoing this back to me. Gender clinics run by primary care providers, by endocrinologists, by psychiatrists, have wait times that range from anywhere 6 months to 2 years. Pediatricians, who play a time-sensitive and crucial role in treating gender dysphoria in youth, have wait times for up to 2 years. Surgeries, as you've heard, are a whole other problem. Patients wait to see a provider who can request the surgery. They then wait for the Ministry of Health to approve the surgery, which is anywhere from 6 to 8 months, and then they wait for a surgeon. Depending on the surgery requested, within Ontario, this could be more than a 3-year wait. There's been no commitment from the province as yet to build capacity in our services or to increase our services or even to promise long-term funding. Surgery programs here remain underdeveloped, so most of our patients actually do leave the province for surgery, which is expensive for our healthcare system, and it's actually very difficult for patients as well. Any complications that may arise from the surgeries come home with them to Ontario and then is in the hands of our healthcare providers who are not providing the initial care. And as you've already heard, many of these procedures are either not covered or not fully covered by the Ministry of Health, so people are in the difficult position of paying for medically necessary surgery.
Also present at the press conference was the 519, the Toronto agency dedicated to health, happiness, and full participation of the 2S LGBTQ plus communities, according to its website. 519 board member Pam Rick said that there's an urgent need for wider access to gender-affirming care, calling it a human rights issue.
The 519 is Canada's most prominent 2S LGBTQ plus community center and service provider. We are committed to the health, happiness, and full participation of 2S LGBTQ plus communities in Toronto and beyond. I want to thank my member of Provincial Parliament, Kristen Wong-Tam, for inviting me here to speak about how both LEAF and the 519 strongly support the Gender-Affirming Healthcare Act. We've heard firsthand already from trans folks, their loved ones, and healthcare providers about the urgent need to improve access to gender-affirming healthcare. Trans people and other experts are telling us what the evidence also shows us. Gender-affirming care improves health outcomes for trans communities. It is not frivolous. It is not a nice-to-have. It is a human rights issue.
CGRU reached out to Wong-Tam's office, the Connect Clinic, and the 519 for comment regarding the bill's retabling. CGRU is awaiting a reply. More details to come. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.